Let's turn to Isaiah chapter 66. We're continuing on talking about the church. And if you need a Bible, just raise your hand and make sure one of the ushers can hand one to you. Before we read the text, there's an announcement. We forgot to put on the bulletin, but on December 6th, which is the first Sunday in December, after the second service, we'll be having a town hall meeting, and I'll send you out an email this week to give you more details. But it's town hall is if you've never been to one at SP, it's an open forum meeting at church, and so you know, we can ask questions and we can dialogue and all that good stuff. And so it's December 6th here at church at the after the second service. So probably about 4:30, I will have that, and so please. Keep that on your radar. Last week, we had our first fruit offering, and I don't have the exact amount yet, but I think we collected about $3-something million so far. And so that's continually going into our fund. And so we're very much on our way there. And I know a lot of people forgot to give last week as well. So we'll see. Hopefully I have a better report for you this coming Sunday. So Isaiah 66, verse 1. We've been reading this each time. Right, thus says the Lord, heaven is my throne and the earth is my footstool. Where then is a house you could build for me? And where is a place that I may rest? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you, God, and we bless you today, Lord. And we thank you, God, that you watch over us, Lord, that you have incredible plans, God, and dreams and visions in store for each one of us, God, individually, but especially as a body, God. And we come to learn from you, God. We come to download, God, what you're saying in the heavens. And we ask you to teach us right now, Lord. Release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us ears to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying each one of us, God, individually and corporately as a body. Lord, we bless you today, God. I humble myself, God. I ask that you use me, Lord. We thank you so much, God. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. Excuse me. When it was built for an international exposition in the last century, the structure was called monstrous by the citizens of the city. They demanded that this structure be torn down as soon as the exposition was over. Yet from the moment of its inception, right, its architect, when he first conceived it, he took great, great pride in it. He loyally defended it from those who wished to tear it down, and he knew that this structure was destined for greatness. He just had it in him, and he went all out against every person that would detract from this structure. You know, today we know that the structure is one of the greatest archaeological wonders of the modern world, and it stands as the primary landmark of Paris, France. This architect, obviously, was Alexander Gustave Eiffel. His famous tower was built in 1889. And in the same way, you know, we were also struck by Jesus' loyalty to another structure, the church. You know, he entrusted to an unlikely band of misfits and, you know, they called disciples. He defended the structure. He prayed for this structure. And he prepared this structure for greatness. You know, to outsiders, you know, these disciples, this church seemed like an incapable group of blunderers, right? But to Jesus, the architect of the church, he knew that this structure was destined for greatness when he returns. Now, I don't know if anyone has ever been to the Eiffel Tower, but it's beautiful. You know, you can't really imagine, like, you know, now, I was there years ago. And unfortunately, I wasn't there with my wife. I was there with a good friend of mine. And, you know, it wasn't romantic, but it was still very nice. And we went, and it was, I mean, it was just a beautiful structure. You know, we must have taken like 100 pictures, right? Because now we recognize its greatness. But can you imagine, you know, years ago when you're in that international exposition, you know, and this kind of structure that really fulfills no purpose in some way, right? I mean, no one can live there. You know, you just go up to the top and take a view and that's about it. You know, and people criticize it to no end. And now we know it is an incredible landmark. And I think a lot of times the church is the same way. You know, it's so easy for us to criticize the church, especially when we don't understand it. You know, I can't tell you how many conversations I've had with people, you know, and usually it's people that don't go to church, you know, or that don't know anything about church and always so critical. You know, the church is this and a bunch of hypocrites and that. And, you know, it just goes on and on and on. But they don't really understand the beauty of God's structure. You know, and so we've been spending a few weeks talking about this and whatnot. And even to those of us in the church, you know, it's so easy to criticize. I remember just a little while ago, my wife and I, we visited a church. I don't really, you know, get a chance to do this so much, you know. And so, but I really enjoy going to church, you know, and so obviously I enjoy coming to Solomon's Porch. This is my favorite church on this planet, right? Can we turn that off? It's kind of cold, eh? You know, and when I wake up, and I don't know about you guys, but when I wake up in the morning, especially Sunday morning, I get really excited, you know, because I'm going to come and, you know, and I'm going to preach, which I love to do, you know, but I'm going to see my friends and see my co-laborers in Christ. And, you know, and then, you know, we're going to sing together. And even though the choir will not have me at church, right, I know I can sing in the morning, you know, and the Lord will have me, right, in the better choir and things like that and stuff. And so, But I remember going to this church when we were in Korea for Chris's wedding, and we went on Sunday, and we went to church, and you know, first of all, it was kind of hard finding the place, so we ended up finding the place, and then it was hard finding the room where they met in, right? Because it was the English service, you know, of this large Korean church, and we're going around, and there's no signs anywhere, you know, so I'm complaining, like, come on, you know, I can't, you know, they do something, and then we get there, and, you know, I think both of our kids are sleeping, I think, at the time, right? And so they're both knocked out, you know? And so we're carrying these kids and, you know, and carrying one kid in the arm and got the stroller in the other arm. And, you know, and there's like, you know, like 50 ushers standing around. And not one person, like, helps us. You know, I'm like having trouble moving the stroller around, and they're just kind of just standing. Because they, like, their ushering system is they stand right in the middle of the aisle, and the lady's just looking at me. Like, you know, I'm like, got this baby, you know, I'm carrying Elise, right? The big baby, right? I'm trying to do the stroller and find a place, and she's just staring at me. I was like, wow, then no one said hello to me when I walked into church, right? And so, I mean, I feel some of you guys, you know, that said, yeah, Solomon's Porch, man, people don't say hello to me, I've been here, right? You know, or the worst thing is, and I, as a pastor, I apologize for this, right? You know, you've been coming for like 2 months, and you come in, and, are you new to church? Right? And yeah, we hate that, right? And obviously, yeah, that's not so good. But our excuse is we actually have two services, right? And so sometimes we don't know if you're coming to one service, you know, but that's a bad excuse. And so you know, I recognize this thing. And then, you know, and so the whole time I'm already in a bad mood, right? So I'm sitting in the seat, and but finally the worship starts, and you know, it's great, right? And I have a really wonderful time of worship. And then the pastor comes up to preach, and you know, and it was a good word, but he kept doing these like facial gestures, you know, and like hand movements. And I thought you ever watch when Incredible Hulk turns into like David Banner turns into the Incredible Hulk and, you know, and stuff. And, you know, and after the service, I went to Lisa. I said, Lisa, what did you know? And she said the same thing, right? It was very daunting, you know, just the every point was, you know, kind of stuff. And so you know, I'm being just ridiculous, but and then so afterwards I actually went to the mirror, you know, and I looked at myself and I make my points, and you know, I thought, okay, mine's actually okay, you know, and stuff. But it's, I mean, isn't it so easy, right? It's so easy to be so critical. It doesn't take any effort whatsoever, you know, to point out people's faults and people's weakness, and especially, you know, in line with the church. I mean, I should go back. I had a wonderful time at the service, right, back in Korea and things, and that's not the point. But it kind of showed me how dark you know, my heart is in some ways. And I wasn't, you know, I wasn't trying to compare or anything. I always try to make that a point whenever I visit, because I don't want to compare, like, oh yeah, we do things differently here. That's not the whole point, but I just try to receive something. But this one particular time, I tried to come in with a mentality that I am a newcomer. You know, that this is my first time visiting a church. And so I kind of put that lens on in that way. And I found the experience not to be very good, you know, not to be, you know, and I think my conclusion was, well, if I lived in Korea, I would not go to this church, you know, and, which is not the best conclusion to have, but just goes to show, you know, how easily I can be so critical. You know, and if I'm a trained individual in church, you know, and I know what you're supposed to think in these things, can you imagine what you guys are going through? You know, you guys are probably looking at me and, you know, I don't know if you like the color of my sweater and you're complaining about that, or, you know what I mean? Or, you know what I mean? So there's so many things, and, you know, and the worship team was up here, it's easy for me sometimes too, because, you know, we kind of have a mini dress code, you know, for the worship team, right? You know, and sometimes I'm like, why are you wearing that, man? You know, it's like, don't you know this is holy, right? And, but not today, right? Even though Solomon was kind of bordering on that, with the t-shirt and stuff. But so easy. That's why the Bible, right? Sorry, man. Right? That's why the Bible says, you know, focus on things that are good. Let your mind dwell in these things, things that are above and not below, right? Because that's spirituality. You know, spirituality is to look at something that is pretty negative, you know, or something that just doesn't seem to fit or something not so right. But the Spirit of Christ is to see something that's beautiful there. You know, He did that with every single one of us, right? God looked at each one of us and it just didn't seem right. Too many flaws, you know, too much bad stuff going on, you know, and all these things. But when Jesus looked at us, He didn't look to what was or what is. He looked and spoke out what could be and what should be and what will be, right? And when God looks at us, He looks into our destiny, you know. And, you know, today, even during worship, I don't know, Pastor. I know what we were singing one song, you know, and now it slips my mind, you know. But the words of the song was kind of like, what do we sing today? We sing, no, wasn't that one? What was another one? My glorious. Not the last song. What's the other song after that? Yeah, something like that. Now you know I make up illustrations on the go, right? And so, but there was a word. Give me this, man. This is going to really hurt me now. Okay, in any case. But, you know, man, this is going to really kill me now. Oh, here it is. Yeah, my glorious. All you ever do is change the old for new, right? Finally, I was 5 minutes to get to that part, right? You know, and I was really thinking about that in my own life. You know, all you ever do is change the old for new. The last few weeks, I've really obviously been enjoying spending time with my family. And, I mean, most times I do, right? And, but for, you know, like Elise is talking a lot more, and she's, you know, more cheerful and happier, and she's taking better care of her sister at times, you know. And Emma is talking a lot more, you know, and then my wife and I, we're doing pretty good together, which is not always the case, you know. More my fault than her fault, right? Maybe I'm being too real right now. And things, and so everything's going well, you know, and things are moving along, and we're in an adventure at church and whatnot, and so all through the worship, we're singing that song, all you ever do is change the old for new, you know, and I just kind of, the Lord brought me back to, you know, years and years ago, before I knew Him, you know, and just lost, you know, looking for love, right? And, you know, and I think that's a country song, right? Looking for love in all the wrong places. You know, that is a country song, right? You know, and all these things. And I just thought about that. And I remember distinctly, probably it was last week sometime. And actually, it was this week. And we actually turned Elise's bedroom, because she doesn't sleep in it, we turned it into their playroom. So we threw the mattress out, and we put stuffed all their toys in there, which was all over the living room, right? Like, our house looked like a playpen. And we moved it on. I was sitting on the couch, and it was so clean, you know, like no toys anywhere. And I was thinking, I'm really happy, right? So you guys don't know me, I'm kind of anal, you know, and I'm kind of a clean freak. And not so much clean, but everything needs to be in order, you know. And it was just really nice. And, you know, my wife was, you know, playing with the kids. I think they were drawing or something on the table. And I was thinking, wow, this is really good, you know. And in my heart, just thanking the Lord. And then I go back to a few years before, you know, where, you know, at this time I was actually living with my girlfriend, you know, in an apartment and just fighting all the time and, you know, and all these things and just really looking for love, you know, looking for acceptance and looking for something beyond myself, you know. And I was sitting on the couch and, you know, and this is all happening during worship now today, just realizing, you know, God, thank you so much. You know, all he ever does, you know, he turns the old for new. And that's what God does. He, you know, he looks at every single one of us and with all of our flaws, right? Every single one of us, so many flaws. And he loves us anyway. You know, and when he speaks into our lives and he says, I know the plans that I have for you, says the Lord. You know, and when he says, I have plans for you, you know, it's not just one of those cliche things that you hear at church. That God has a destiny for every single one of us. And it's wonderful, you know, and sometimes we're stuck in the pit and the mire, you know, and we're in that place and we can't even imagine what God has in store. Well, I'm telling you from the other side of the in store, you know, to just be sitting on our couch at home and, you know, with a wonderful wife and wonderful kids and just being so content and so thankful, you know, of the journey that God had me on. Right? And that's what God does. You know, and when we talk about church, you know, that's the idea of church. You know, it's a bunch of journeyers, right? All of us, flawed, you know, with some problems, you know, and not like problems that were like in the past. I'm talking about problems right now. No one's perfect, you know, but we're on this journey together. And we can spend so much time talking about what's wrong with church and, you know, and be critical on things. Well, I want to just spend a little bit of time today talking about what's so right about church. You know, what's so right about the body of Christ. You know, what and not necessarily the benefits, you know, and these kind of things, you know, but to really focus on why God established this entity on this planet. You know, it's so easy to criticize. Some of you guys know that I'm a fan of rap music, and I'm not gonna rap to you today. You know, but I love rap. I grew up and right around the time, because, you know, I'm a little older than most of you, and right around the time when I was in high school and stuff, you know, rap music was crossing. You know, whereas mostly like for the inner city, it was crossing into the suburbs, right? And so I was a suburb kid, you know, grew up in Irvine, California, and it was just me and it was actually mostly it was our basketball team at school and our high school team, and we all thought that we were from the hood, man, you know, and so rap music and all these things. Well, what am I now? I'm reformed, and so I don't listen to, you know, the kind of the secular music. It's all the same thing about getting rich and having a lot of women and stuff like that. And it just has no redeeming value whatsoever, you know. But so I listen to Christian rap music, right? And so one of my favorites is a group called Gospel Gangstas, right? and you got to say it like that. It's not Gospel Gangsters, right? Because, you know, from the hood, right? So it's Gospel Gangstas. And they have a song, and I guess they're being criticized quite a bit, you know, because it's really a great group. If you ever get a chance to listen to them, They're actually a group, and they're Bloods and Crips. And if you're from LA, you know that those guys hate each other, right? The guys that wear blue bandanas, the guys that wear red bandanas. And they're at war with each other. But these guys got saved, and they came together, and they formed this group. And so there's one little line, and I sing it actually all the time. You know, and these guys are really coming against their ministry and saying, oh, you can't go into the hood and do that stuff like that. And they just have one simple line as part of their song. It says, you sit in your pew and you criticize what I do. You know, and whenever, you know, criticism comes my way, I always find myself repeating that verse, right? Because that's, you know, it's so easy to be criticized. But if you're doing something, you know, that you think is of value, it doesn't matter who criticizes you. Right, and in any case, I really had nothing to do with the message, but I just kind of liked it, so I think I threw that in there. Now that I look back, and you know, I think, why did I put that in there? I have really no idea and stuff. But anyway, let's go back to the text here. And so, we recognize first of all, church is important. Okay, this is a quote from Chuck Colson. If you don't know Chuck Colson, he is the president of Prison Fellowship, and he actually was called Richard Nixon's hatchet man. And he was on his staff, and he went to jail because of Watergate. And just this incredibly brilliant guy. And now he's an author, a Christian leader, a thinker, a philosopher. And he writes some of the most, I think for me, really profound books. But his books are really like, they hit you like just like a nail. You know, just very clear to the point, very intellectual, you know, and so I asked you to pick something up. And he writes in one of the books called The Body, and he writes this about church, and he says, yet membership in a confessing body is fundamental to the faithful Christian life. Failure to do so defies the explicit warning not to forsake our assembling together. His understanding of this prompted Martin Luther to say, and listen very carefully, apart from the church, salvation is impossible. Not that the church provides salvation, God does, but because the saved one can't fulfill what it means to be a Christian apart from the church, membership becomes the indispensable mark of salvation. So highly does the Lord esteem the communion of his church, Calvin wrote, that he considers everyone a traitor and apostate from religion who perversely withdraws himself from any Christian society which preserves the true ministry of the word and sacraments. Right, here's Martin Luther's quote again. Apart from the church, salvation is impossible. Now, obviously, we know as theologically that's not correct, but we have to understand what Luther is saying. You know, and he's saying that because salvation, if you just have a very minor view of salvation, is in other words, a very dense view, salvation just doesn't mean you get to go to heaven. Okay? You know, that's like icing on the cake. Salvation, being saved, right, talks about every aspect of our life. That's what it means to be saved. It's not just fire insurance, you know, thank God I don't get to go to hell, you know, and I'm going to heaven. That's not salvation. Salvation is every part of your body, your emotions, your thinking, your finances, your family, you know, your life, every part of your life coming into wholeness. That's salvation. You know, it means that you don't have to live in fear anymore. You know, it means that you can, you know, be loved and express love. And, you know, I mean, just think about every part of your life being whole. You know, in the end of January, we're going to have an inner healing conference at church. And our guest speaker, Dr. Kraft, is going to come. And when I was sharing with him, and I was asking him, you know, Chuck, you know, you can you come to Hong Kong and minister to our community and whatnot? You know, he used to be my seminary professor, you know, and all these things. And then we started talking about these things. And he said this question, and I still think about it all the time. And he says, Pastor Sam, he didn't call me Pastor Sam. He says, Sam, you know, how would you feel or what would you think or, you know, if your church was free? I mean, if people in your church were really, really free. You know, and he's like, what would that look like? You know, and my whole thing was, wow, that'd be fantastic. You know, I mean, that'd be great. You know, I mean, just think in your own life. Just think about it for a moment. How would your life be if you were totally free? I mean, just free, whatever that means to you. That even at work, you know, you don't have to worry what people think about you because you're totally free. You know, you don't have to worry about what's in your bank account because you're totally free. No fear. No, I mean, what would that feel like? You know, and that's salvation. That's when God says you're saved, that's what it means. It just doesn't mean that you get to go to heaven, right? Salvation means that you are totally free. You know, someone stabs you in the back and it's nothing. Because I'm free. You know, something really bad happens to you in your job or in your family or something and you're in through a crisis. You know, it's not that you're broken, because yeah, we're broken in that, but we don't have to get sleepless nights and worry just overtaking us because we're free. That, my friends, is what it means to be saved. You know, and Luther is saying the fullness of that can't happen apart from the church. You know, because that's the place where all this stuff gets worked out. You know, where everything, you know, kind of comes together. You know, and yeah, we could focus on what's wrong. And you know, I mean, there's a lot of things wrong. You know, I mean, I'm the pastor of this church, and I know there's a lot of things wrong. You know, we try our best to remedy and fix and help and get to the core. You know, but we continue to strive on. What's right about the church? Just a few kind of notes. Number one, or actually, I don't even put a number on this. It's just some thoughts before we get into number one, right? Church has the right foundation. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. This is just very philosophical kind of stuff going on. The church has the right foundation. 1 Corinthians 3:11 says, "For no man can lay a foundation other than the one which is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Right? Our foundation is Jesus. It's the right foundation. You know, have you ever thought, you know, am I building my life on the right things? You know, am I really going about? And a lot of times, you know, usually this happens during different crises in our life. You know, anyone here have a near-death experience? Like a real near-death experience? Anyone? Right? A few of you guys, right? Do you remember when that happened? I remember when it happened for me. Man, all of a sudden the priorities in life really came into focus, you know? You know, I mean, I had a time, I'm sure I shared this story before, but I took our kids on a youth camp one time when I was a youth pastor, and I went, we were in Kings Canyon, and I went to go basically test how deep the water was, because we're going to kind of jump off the rocks and stuff. And when I did that winter, there was so much rain that the waterfall, the current was so strong. This is the American River, if you're familiar with California. And I went in to test the water, and I got stuck into the current. And I floated down the river. And I thought I was gonna die. I hit rocks along the way. I mean, I was basically going down the river just with my hands and legs out, just trying to protect myself. And then there was this big dip, and I went into the dip, and I couldn't get up because the water that was from the fall was coming down, and it was pushing me down. And I looked up, and you know, you guys ever hear that story? Your life flashes before your eyes. It's really true. You know, my short life flashed before my eyes. It was crazy. You know, and I just looked up and I just saw a light, you know, and it wasn't God. It was the sun, you know. And so don't, you know, I don't want to make it more of, you know, because I know preachers exaggerate a lot, but so I'm not going to, you know. And so I was, you know, it was in there, and it was just this word that just said, it's not your time yet. God was just, it's not your time yet. And I just swam as hard as I could, and I got up to the top, and then I found a clearing, and I swam, and I got out, and I sprained my ankle, and I had bruises all over my whole body. But man, that day afterwards, my priorities in life came into order. You know, and a lot of times, you know, we kind of have, you know, times like this where we think, you know, is my life on the right foundations? You know, and don't wait for a crisis for this to happen. You know, don't wait for a time in your life where you're jarred. You know, is your life on the right foundation? Are you building your life in the right ways? You know, when we talk about the church has the right foundation because the foundation is Jesus Christ. You know, He is our foundation. He is what we build on. The church also has the right leadership. You know, you don't have to turn there, but Ephesians 5:23 says Christ is the head of the church. You know, and so have you ever, you know, wondered in your job, am I working for the right boss? You know, is this the right boss? Is this person going to back me up? And, you know, is this person going to stand up for me? Or is this person going to teach me and help me, you know, to grow professionally? And is this person only interested in me because I can do this job? Or are they interested in me as a person? You know, and, you know, we ask these things. Isn't it wonderful to know that in the church we have the right leadership, right? It's Jesus, because Jesus is the head of the church. He is the right leader. And when you look at, you know, the idea of leadership in the church, whatever the case may be, you know, of leaders and apostles, prophets, and all these things, the key to leadership in the church is that God chooses the leaders. You know, and so you can always recognize, right, that the right leadership is there. You know, hopefully, I should say, you know, man gets in the way and those things happen. Right? Another kind of thought about this is the church has the right purpose. It has the right purpose. Matthew 28:19-20 tells us, go therefore into the whole world and preach the gospel, right? Teaching them to observe all that He has commanded, right? The church is the right purpose, you know? And have you ever thought that, you know? Have you ever thought about your purpose in life, you know, about why you're here? You know, and it goes way beyond what you do, right? Because what you do is what you do. But why are you here? Why are you doing what you're doing? I think that's a better question. You know, and the church has that purpose in Christ Jesus. You know, sharing Jesus. And so you could be a lawyer, you know, you could be a doctor, you know, you could be a banker, you could be a teacher, all these things, you know, and no matter what you're doing, the purpose of why you're doing it can be pronounced, right? Because Jesus is involved in it, you know, and so you're doing your work heartily for the Lord, you know, and so there's that aspect of it, but then you begin to understand why you're there in that place, you know, much more than doing the job and getting the paycheck, right? The church has the right purpose. You know, the church is a place, right, where we all start the same. You know, it's, you know, every one of us, we come first as sinners, reconciled to God, right? It's the same level. You know, when Pentecost came, when the Holy Spirit came, right, even more so, was even more pronounced that everything was equal. Male, female, young, old, right, you know, boys, girls, children, slaves, free people, you know, all down the road, it says everyone was equal because the Spirit of God was given to all. You know, and so church is that place of incredible equality. You know, church is a community. You know, it's a place, you know, where every single one of us, we're a community of forgiven sinners. You know, and I think the moment we lose sight of that, right, is a moment that we can get ourselves into error. You know, because we can think, oh, we're much better than the world, you know, we're better than these people or whatnot, you know, and that's just simply not the case. We're all the same. We're just forgiven, right? And you know, and we have to really understand that. You know, there's a song, you guys may be very familiar with it, Amazing Grace, you know, and, you know, most everyone in church knows that song. You guys know who wrote that song? Who was it? John Newton, right? You know, Newton was an Englishman, he's a friend. Newton's story is actually really, really incredible. Because Newton, he, you know, you guys all know, he used to be a slave trader, you know, and was very convicted, you know, and he gave up his slave trade. Actually, that's not the true story, right? The true story is Newton was a slave trader. He was also a Christian. You know, so it wasn't like he had this incredible transformation and oh God, you know, I did this thing and I can't believe, you know, I did this and he got saved and all of a sudden he became this new creature. That wasn't Newton's story. Newton's story was he was a slave trader. He was a believer, you know, and stuff. And so he, you know, kind of rationalized, you know, some way of things, what he's doing. But then he had an experience with God that so shook him to the core. And he recognized, right, that even as a believer, he was still in incredible error. You know, and then he changed. And then later on, that's when he wrote that song, Amazing Grace. You know, and he began to see, and that brings a little more color to the story, right? It wasn't like he was such a sinner, and he was those things, but he was a saved sinner, you know, and he was still trading people. I mean, just this crazy, you know, but we're all like that. You know, we've all been saved by amazing grace. You know, this is, you know, what makes the church so beautiful. You know, there's no classifications of people. You know, in whatever, even, you know, a danger that we have sometimes is to raise people up in terms of giftedness, you know, like, oh, this person can really pray, so we'll let them do that, or this person has a gift in that. But see, we're all equal. I mean, even those gifts are not from us. You know what I mean? That's why it's the gift of the Holy Spirit. There's nothing that we did to gain these gifts or to earn these things. It was just totally given by God. And so we're all totally the same. Well, let's go to the body of the text here. This is what I wanted to share more than anything else. What's so right about the church? Number one, and don't worry, I only have 2 points, okay? Number one, right? The church is a body. It's a body. You know, and all that means, right? 1 Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though there are many, are one body, so also is Christ. We are one, right? We are part of something that's greater than ourselves. You know, little insignificant me, insignificant you, but in the guise of the church, we are one. You know, that means that I can have a connection with Jacinta, and if there's anyone that's more different than me, it's probably Jacinta, right? You know, and, you know, but we are one. You know, there is a bond that we have because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And He makes us one. Every single one of us that are sitting here. It's supernatural. You know what I mean? That we can come from such different backgrounds. You know, we can come from different experiences, different, you know, parts of the journey of life. You know, and when we get consumed in this body, we become one. Something that's greater than ourselves. Something that's beyond ourselves. You know, Hebrews 12, and I love Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12 talks about this, and he says that there is a cloud of witnesses that surround us, right? You know, I mean, a lot of times I just really meditate on that. There's a cloud of witnesses surrounding us. You know, and when I really get into the Spirit, you know, especially relating to that text, I recognize, man, I'm in something that's so much bigger than I am. You know, I'm a part of something that is so much greater than I can ever imagine. We have this cloud of witnesses that surround us. You know, our patriarchs, people that have gone, you know, forward in the faith before us, that lived victorious lives. You know, and it's not just the hall of faith, you know, in Hebrews 11. You know, but it's people of God that are connected, and you know, I don't know, but I get a couple e-newsletters, you know, I think that's what it's called, right? Like people send emails of kind of updates and stuff, and I get one from like Voice of the Martyrs, and you know, some from the other persecuted church kind of stuff, and so you know, we pray, and you know, like Christian Solidarity Worldwide, you know, here in Hong Kong, and they send us these updates, and every time I read these things about, you know, our brothers and sisters in Christ all over the world that are suffering, that are being freed and rejoicing, you know, it's a reminder, man, we're a part of something that's so humongous, you know, that's stood the test for 2,000 years, you know, and just people have come against, you know, the church in so many countries, so many regions, you know, so many different eras, and the church still stands. We are one. You know, we're part of that cloud. We're a cohesive unit. We're a team. You know, the church is the place where you can belong, no matter where you come from. You know, we're hopefully that you're totally accepted. The Bible says in Corinthians in 12, he says, when one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. When one rejoices, right, then we all rejoice with it. You know, where else in the world can you get that? You know, where else in the world can you, you know, be a part of something like this? You know, we're bound to one another, not just by friendship, right? But by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it's thicker than any human bond that we could ever have. You know, I think I shared last week, you know, when Jesus, you know, turned to John and to Mary. You know, and he turned to, you know, John and said, hey, you know, John, this is your mother, and mother, this is your son. You know, we know that Jesus had a lot of other, you know, brothers and sisters that should be able to take care of the mom. But he entrusted the care of his mother to John, the beloved. And I think what that was a prophetic projection of the power that the church will have, right, in human relationships, you know, especially when we talk about family. You know, we're bound to one another. This is the biblical directive that we have, that we are one. Now, have you ever felt like you want to be part of the team? Guess what? You're part of the greatest team that's ever been assembled on this planet in the history of the world. It's the church. Why don't you turn to your neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Are you on that team? Oh. Sorry, I was sweating. You know, our purpose, right, is also tied, you know, into finding what part of what part we play in the body. You know, some of us are the ears, the eyes, the feet, the mouths, the knees, the heart, et cetera, et cetera. And when we understand our fit, you know, in the body, we understand our purpose. Right? This is who we are. We are the body of Christ. You know, when one member suffers, we all suffer with it. You know, I mean, do you get a sense of what the Holy Spirit is trying to tell us in this season? You know, and it's not just about raising money for a building, right? That's so cheesy if that's all we're about. You know, this is a body of Christ. You are part of the body of Christ. You know, there are people in this world, you know, that are so lonely. Because they want to belong to something. You know, and here we are, we belong to the greatest entity that this world has ever known, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, are we taking advantage of it? That's a whole other question. It's a sermon for another time, right? But we are the body of Christ. The church is also an army. Turn to Ezekiel chapter 37. Ezekiel is kind of towards the back of the Old Testament. It's after Jeremiah and Lamentations, before Daniel. Isn't it just nice to flip through your Bible? Maybe not. I think it's quite nice. Ezekiel 37 is the vision of the valley of dry bones. It says, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of the valley, and it was full of bones. He caused me to pass among them round about, and behold, there were very many on the surface of the valley, and lo, they were very dry. He said to me, Son of man, can these bones live? I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Again he said to me, prophesy over these bones, and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter you, that you may come to life. And I will put sinews on you, and make flesh grow back on you, cover you with skin, and put breath in you, that you may come alive, and you will know that I am the Lord. So I prophesied as I was commanded, and as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a rattling, and the bones came together, bone to its bone. I looked, and behold, sinews were on them, and flesh grew, and skin covered them, but there was no breath in them. Then he said to me, prophesy to the breath, prophesy, son of man, and say to the breath, thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe on these slain, that they may come to life. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they came to life, and stood on their feet, an exceedingly great army. The church is an army. I love this passage in Ezekiel, right? This is the prototypical picture of the church. You know, like I said before, when we first came in, broken, you know, a lot of issues, a lot of flaws, but God breathed into us. You know, when it talks about breath, it's literally that life, you know, that comes into, you know, our very being. The breath is, you know, the word be ruach, right, which is the spirit, this life that comes into us. You know, and so he breathes into our lives, and we've been changed and transformed. But we've been changed and transformed for a purpose. Right? Don't ever lose sight of this fact. You know, God blessed you to be a blessing. You know, that is so important for us to recognize. Turn to your other neighbor, right, and say, hey, good looking, God bless you to be a blessing. Right? It's really so important, right? These dry bones being turned into an army. You know, we're not perfect, right? But we're being changed day by day. Paul writes in Philippians chapter 3, 12, he says, not that I've obtained it, I've already become perfect, but I press on in order that I may lay a hold of that which also I was laid a hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself as having laid hold of it yet, but one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind, and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Right? Paul says, you know, he says, even in his maturity. Now, Philippians is kind of deep into his discipleship, right? And he says, I have not laid hold of it yet. But he's saying, but I'm growing every single day. And I'm pressing on. And I'm going for that goal, that call of Christ is on my life, right? We as the church of God, we are an army. You know, God gives us purpose, you know, within the body of Christ. And when we begin to recognize our purpose, right, man, we just grow. You know, I remember, you know, before I gave my life to Jesus and, you know, doing, you know, going to school and, you know, and doing all these things and you know, always something really gnawed at me really deeply. And I would lose sleep. I don't really consider myself to be a deep person, you know. Not to say I'm shallow, you know, but, you know, I'm just kind of one of those regular guys, you know. But there was a season, there was a point where, I, you know, I just wondered, what is the purpose? You know, what's the point of life? You know, and probably all of us at some point we ask those kind of questions, you know. Why am I here? You know, well, I mean, what's the point of all these things? You know, and the church is the army. Right? The church is that place where God grants us that purpose. You know, and then we join our purposes with His purpose, and we join other people that walk in that purpose. You know, and then you got the army of God, and God's will becomes established on this earth. Right? We are His force here. You know, by which he blesses the world. This is the entity by which it happens. I'm going to go on and talk about more things later on, but today I actually wanted to spend, cut it a little short, to spend a little time actually praying together for a little bit. You know, this whole week, I've been getting the verse of Galatians chapter 6. You know, and Galatians 6 says, bear one another's burdens and thus fulfill the law of Christ. And so during our Experiencing God discipleship on Friday, we spent some time doing that, and I felt it was just not just for the discipleship class, but for the church as a whole, right? That we have a place that we can share and bear our burdens with one another, you know, and not be ridiculed. You know, you do that at work, and people think you're weak. You know what I mean? You know, you're real, right? You're vulnerable, and things, and you know, you're human, right? But you do that in certain parts of our society, and they look that upon as weakness, because you have to have a facade, or that's a bunch of crap, you know, a bunch of scared people, just trying to operate like they're strong. Come on, we all know, right? We're not dumb, you know, and things, and you get that in the world, but there is a living entity called the Church of Jesus Christ that people can share, you know, and have burdens, and people can bear those burdens. You know, and when we're bearing those burdens, right, it's, right, the law of Christ is being fulfilled. In other words, exactly what God wanted to do through a living organism is being fulfilled. And so we just wanted to spend some time in prayer. And you know, and you know, we're in the world, it's looked upon as weakness and whatnot. You know, in the church, in God's eyes, it's incredible, it's strength. It's incredible courage, you know, to share. And so, I mean, we're not going to stand up and do a public thing with our mic and everything like that, you know. We do that during retreat times usually, right? And stuff. But, you know, we want to pray for each other today. And we want to fulfill the law of Christ, you know. And so let's just close our eyes for a moment. Some of us have been wondering, what is our role in the body of Christ? I'm going to tell you what your role is right now. Am I the hand, the feet? What am I? Well, this morning, we're going to be the back. I'm going to carry other people's weight. My daughter loves being on my back. And some of you guys are going to experience riding on God's back. You know, riding on someone's back actually carries a couple of purposes. It gets you from point A to point B, which my daughter loves. But it's also stinking fun. And God's gonna touch us today. And it's gonna have a purpose. But it's also gonna be fun. If you're here today and you have a burden, we don't have to know what it is. Right? I'm sure God knows. But there's something just very heavy on your heart. And maybe it's a new thing, or maybe this is something that's been heavy on your heart for a long time. That's called a burden. Now, God's law, God's heart, is for you not to carry that burden on your own. Remember, Jesus says, come to me, all who are weary and heavy laden, right? Are burdened. He says, learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and find rest for your soul. He says, take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. And that's was Jesus' invitation to the world. The manifestation of how that operates will be through the hands of the church. And so if you're here today and you are burdened for whatever reason, again, we don't have to know what it is. Can I ask you to do a very courageous thing this morning? And with all the eyes closed, just lift your hand in the air. And it just signifies, you know what, I am burdened. Again, we don't have to know what it is, right? So can I just ask you to keep that hand in the air? Right, so you guys that have a hand in the air, just keep your hand in the air and close your eyes and just stay in this state. Now I'm going to ask the church, who doesn't have the hand in the air, I'm going to ask you to open your eyes. I'm going to ask you to look around the room and to see our brothers and sisters, that one body. We are one. If my friend here is burdened, I am burdened, because we are one body. What happens to the body affects us. And then the other part, we're the army. We're God's chosen instruments to go help and to fight on behalf of others. Right, and so as the body and the army, can I just invite you to go and move and find someone around you who's got their hand up, and please keep your hands up so we know. Right, there's brothers in the back. Paul is here in the front. Sujin, Anthony is in the corner over there. Marsha's in the back. There's another brother in the back, and sorry, I don't know your name, bro, in the leather jacket. Stanley's up here. There's a sister in the front. Paul Marriott's in the back. And let's move around the room. Come on now. Let's be the body in the army. And then you don't have to know what it is, but you know what's going to happen? The Holy Spirit is just going to flow through you. Because you're going to feel what they're feeling. And out of that intimate knowledge of God, prayers are just going to flow. And they don't even need to hear your prayers because something supernatural is going to happen. Just watch. Just lay your hands, because the hands, right, especially in the Bible, the hands represented the heart. It was love. And just place your hands, and it's the hands of Jesus. And if you don't know what to pray, just pray, Lord, just lift these burdens off of my friend. And so you're going to pray differently today, because you're going to pray because you're the body. If one member suffers, all the members suffer with it. And you're going to be the back this morning. And you're going to carry that weight. See, the weight was not meant for you to carry by yourself. Never meant for that. It was meant to be given to Jesus. It was meant to be shared by the body. So let's really pray for each other. You guys that have your hands up, just, you can put your hand down now if someone's praying for you, and just receive. Just feel the weight just come off. No matter what's going on, no matter the circumstance, come Holy Spirit. Lord, we just pray the Ruach, breathe into our friends right now. Alleviate. Lift off. And it's okay. Some of you may cry and you may feel very weak. That's a part of it, right? When things are being released, things happen to us. Our emotions and all these things are tied together. And just feel free to do that. In church, when you cry, it's not seen as weakness. So don't be afraid of that. Don't be afraid that someone's going to look upon you and think weird thoughts of you. No. We love you. We love you in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Let's just continue to lift them up. I'm telling you right now, God's doing some very deep things in people's lives. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Shut it up.
And as we worship, build your song. And as we worship, build your song. And as we worship, build your song. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place.
And as we
worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. As we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, take your place. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place.
Now, as you're praying for this person and you feel like God's speaking to you about them, feel free to just share. Right? Doesn't have to be something super spiritual, right? Just say, you know what, I was praying for you and I just got this sense, and just encourage that person. And if you have a verse or maybe you saw a vision or something, God does it all the time. Just share a word of encouragement. You just simply say, man, I just really love you in Christ. And I just want to give you the opportunity to do that, just to bless the person around you as you minister to them.
And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. And as we worship, and as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. As we worship, and as we worship, build, oh Lord. And as we worship, build your throne. And as we worship, build your throne. Come, Lord Jesus, take your place. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place. Come, Lord Jesus, and take your place.
I want to encourage you to continue to pray for each other. Let me close in a benediction, as I think they're going to turn the construction back on very soon. Right, and so let me just cover us in prayer, and then please do continue to pray and minister. I think God's really doing some wonderful things in people's lives today. And so, Lord, we just thank you, God. Thank you, Lord, that we are a part of something that's greater than us, Lord. That we are the body of Christ, God. Lord, that we are the army of God. Lord, that you desire us, God, to walk in the purposes of you. Teach us, God. But I pray, teach us to be a church, Lord. Or teach us to live up to God, Lord, the beauty and, God, the purpose and design of your church. Lord, you defended this church, God. You gave your life for this church. And so we ask, God, that we would walk in a manner worthy of that calling. We bless you, God. Watch over us, Lord, this week, we pray. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Please continue to pray. Others, please enjoy some refreshments in the back and quietly as we continue to minister. We pray that God's burdens are lifted off of you, or that God lifted those burdens off you, better said.